I think the pollen that was blowing around yesterday, and Dorothy and I kind of cut the front part of the grass over there, has got my voice kind of going south. Most of the religious world today is going to be celebrating the holiday Easter. But I seen something that took me by surprise that the president declared today Transgender Day of Visibility. That's all I'm going to say about that. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What precious words to give us as Christians, especially in this day and age that we live in, strength and courage. You know, I'm kind of terrible at waiting. And I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. In times past, if someone said they will be here at my house or meet me somewhere at this time, and they're not there, I became very impatient. How could that person take up my time? How inconsiderate of that person. However, beyond all of the petty things that I had in my mind, there are events, there are circumstances, and there are seasons in our life in which we are commanded to wait on the Lord. But not only are we commanded to wait upon the Lord, we are instructed on how we should wait upon the Lord. Now, this morning in this lesson, I want to examine a few things about how we are to wait upon the Lord. First of all, in Lamentations, Jeremiah writes this, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Wait on the Lord. Literally satisfying yourself in him. When you look at the word portion, did you know that in the Hebrew, this literally has the idea of my share of the loot? How many of you don't like loot? Have you ever found something that you thought was the greatest thing, but yet it was somebody else's junk? I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'll tell you right now, years ago I used to go dumpster diving just like a lot of other people. But the dumpster I'm talking about was not behind the store. It was actually in a dump. And you'd be surprised at the stuff that people throw away. Wait on the Lord, satisfying yourself in him. Take your share of the loot. When you look at this, and it says, therefore will I hope in him, is literally, and could literally be translated as wait. In many passages of Scripture where you see hope and wait, those two words a lot of times are interchangeable. To hope is to wait, and to wait is to hope. The Lord is our portion. Should He not be enough? You know, there's people that are looking and searching for something greater than themselves. But when you start speaking about the Creator God, the first problem is they don't believe that God created. The Lord is our portion, and He should be enough. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You remember here what's taking place? Paul had an infirmity. We don't know exactly what it is. Some have stated, and perhaps, that it was his eyesight. Some thought maybe that it might be his hands, because he had people transcribing for him. Some claimed that it was possibly in his legs or his feet, that he was not able to walk very well. But whatever it was, he's told, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We don't want to be weak, do we? When the world sees weakness, they pounce on it. But this is not talking about weakness in a worldly sense. This is talking about being perfect in weakness in God, in Christ. Because it is through God and through Christ that we gain our strength. Not as the world gains, but as we gain in Christ. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How many of us have actually glorified in Christ because of some ailment? And I'm not talking about disease. I'm not talking about things of that nature. How many of you have ever watched, and I'm sure you have, the older version of A Christmas Carol? You remember when little Timothy's father come back from the church service and had him on his shoulder, and then he starts talking to his wife, and she asks how Timothy done, I think it was, his name was Timothy, in church service, and he said he was golden. And you know what he said? He said, I'm glad that people can see my lameness. Have we ever thought about that? Have we ever truly realized the strength that, and the power that we have in Christ, even though we may have a physical ailment? Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therefore to be content. I know both how to be abased, and that word there literally is humble. I know how to be humble, and I know how to abound far more, is what Paul is saying. There were times when Paul didn't have, but there were times that he had far more. But he understood that whether he had less or whether he had more, it made no difference. He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That should be our mantra. We should say this to ourselves. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Shouldn't we? Then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed, happy. Are we happy to live within God's word? Wait on the Lord, serving him. Again, Jeremiah and Lamentation, chapter 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Now this passage employs Hebrew parallelism, meaning that the way to wait on the Lord is equated with seeking him. You know, when the Bible's talking about here in these passages, waiting, that doesn't mean sitting in your rocking chair, taking it easy, and saying, well, when the Lord sends me a sign, I'll get up and go. That's not what it's talking about. Because the word wait can also mean to seek. If the living knew what to take, first of all, take your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 16. We're going to read quite a few verses there in a moment. Luke chapter 16. If the living knew what the dead know, they would find themselves in a frantic search for God. If the living knew what the dead know, the living would be frantic trying to find God. Luke chapter 16, let's start reading verse 20. Most of you know these passages. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, the rich man's gate, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if thou went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The rich man. in this passage. We can see that he wanted his brothers not to join him. And he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to go to his father's house, to his brothers, and say, look, y'all need to change. You're not doing right. You need to repent. If the living, and here's the thing. We have this for us to understand. If the living knew what the dead know, then they would be seeking God. Lazarus wanted Abraham, I'm sorry, the rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to go to his brothers so that his brothers would not join him in torment. But what did Abraham say? They have the Moses and the prophets. But the rich man said, no, they're not going to listen to them. But they would listen if you send Abraham or you send Lazarus back. No, that's not going to work. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek, desire, look for. Are we seeking? Are we desiring? Are we looking for the Word of God? Are we seeking to desire to serve and to obey and to live faithfully? Or are we going to be like the rich man's brothers and not hear the Word of God? Wait on the Lord silently. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Psalms 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Expectation, literally what the psalmist here is saying, my hope, my optimistic outlook is in God. My soul, wait. You know, most people have a difficult time in waiting. And I'll raise my hand. Sometimes I get irritated because I have to wait. Sometimes people don't want to wait, so they forge ahead. And many times when we do that, we cause more problems than if we would have just waited. Too many times we're so adamant trying to convert someone to Christ that we plow in and basically wreck the situation. We must not and we must never question the character of God and charge him foolishly. Today, many are doing exactly that. They charge God foolishly. They blame God. They say, I can't believe in a God that let a little child suffer. It's not God. It's sin. It's sin that came into the world through Adam and Eve. And because of that, death came to the world. We cannot lose our influence by our loud complaining about circumstances. Wait silently upon the Lord. Again, Lamentation 3, verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. How many times have we heard people complain about everything that takes place in their lives, around their lives, but yet they're not seeking alternatives to alleviate whatever problems they may be having? Some people just like to complain. Some people in society in general today, I believe, they love to stand on the rock, woe is me. Look at all the problems that I have. Or they want to put the blame on society. They want to put the blame on their mom or their dad or their uncle or brother or sister. They never want to stand up and say, I'm wrong. I need to change. We cannot lose our influence by our loud complaining about the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And we have a good example. You remember who it is? Isaiah 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus, the greatest example that mankind will ever have. Isaiah said that he did not open his mouth. I don't know about you, but if stuff was done to me that was done to our Savior, I'd have been screaming bloody murder. But he opened not his mouth. People don't care about your problems. Oh, yes, there are a few. Every Christian here this morning should be concerned about our brothers and sisters. But society don't care. They're too wrapped up in their own issues, problems, anxieties, fears. Let us realize that we must all wait upon the Lord sometime in our life. Give it to me, Lord, and give it to me now. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. And when we are called to wait upon the Lord, let us wait in the manner that God wants us to wait. What was it? Serving Him silently, satisfying ourselves in Him. When we honor His will, our season of waiting will not only strengthen our faith, but it will be a testimony of our faith to others. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait. Teach me to hope. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait, literally hope, those who hope in the Lord shall renew. And that word there in the Hebrew has the idea of to replace. To replace our being scared and timid to wait in strength and in hope. Because it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Are we weak as Christians? Maybe it's because we're not waiting. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Again, the idea there is mounting up is to cause to rise. Have you ever dumped oil in water? What happens? If you pour it in fast, it'll go straight down to the bottom, but it comes straight back up to the top, and that's where it sits. Water and oil don't mix. Christianity and worldliness don't mix. Am I right? This morning, if you're here and not a child of God, then all I can say, right now you have that opportunity to correct that situation, to be baptized and have your sins washed away and wait upon the Lord to renew your strength, to be strong in the Lord. Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps that you see that you need the prayers of the saints, for whatever the reason may be, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation? There's a line that is